Hi, this is Jackie McGurven, author of The Designer Bag at the Garbage Dump, and I'm here with my friend on the phone, Ravi Candle, and I'd like to tell everyone how Ravi and I met 11 years ago. Somebody stole my purse, grabbed my purse, and took off running across the parking lot, and Ravi took off running after them, and lo and behold, Ravi came back with my purse. And that really made a good first impression on me, so I have liked him ever since. And I ended up naming the main characters in my book after Ravi and his family. And Ravi and his wife live in Bangalore, India, where they minister to orphans. And Ravi, I'd like you to share with us a little bit what you found that works and what you found that doesn't work when it comes to that kind of ministry.
Yeah. Well, we have a ministry, ministry towards the orphans. The ministry towards the orphans is such what the Lord desires us to do. He adopted us. He does the same thing too. But what we do in India with our ministry is we as a family, me and my wife, we have taken in about seven kids into a home. They bear my name. They're no more a orphan. In India, orphans are called cursed. Orphans are called untouchable. If you touch them, you are cursed. Your family is cursed. Your generation is cursed. And that's how much the culture weighs on them, on an orphan. So what happens is if an orphan child goes to an orphanage, in India there's tons of orphanages in India. What happens in orphanages is they put a board outside the houses and saying this is an orphanage or this is the children's home. But what the society pinpoints that orphanage is because it also sees that orphanage is untouchable because they know that the orphanage brings children from untouchable people, untouchable generation or untouchable people. But in other words also, that any child who is an orphan is also cursed. It's also untouchable. It's also that if you touch them, you're cursed, and all that concept is there. So the society around that children's home house also look at them as untouchables too. So growing up in the society, the kids would grow on the road. So the Lord initiated me to take his heart, look at his heart, and do it differently. What I did is we took the children from the streets or different things, and what I did was I gave them my name to them in the schools and in the places and in the house, and my last name became their last names. Their last names no more were the last names. My name was the last name of theirs. And the society started seeing that, and the school system started seeing that. They didn't see the child's past. They saw the father's future in the son's life. And they started respecting them, and they started respecting my son, my daughters, because they are called high caste, because they take the name of Ravi's last name. So that principle kind of worked in all my churches. I also do the same thing with all my churches too. In all my 214 churches, I initiate all the church members to take an orphan into their family. You have to take an orphan. Every family, every orphan is eligible to have a parent. So what I do is if we find an orphan on the street or anything such, we pick the orphan and put them in a family home, and that family takes care of that child and gives their last name and becomes one of the children, and that's what we're doing to it, and that's literally showing the heart of God in bringing an orphan to the home. So that is what we do in India. Yeah.
So how many children over the years, how many years have you been doing this, and just approximately how many children do you think have been placed in homes?
Well, I started that. I'm 34 now, 35 now. I started when I was 17 years old. So there have been hundreds and I don't know, I can't count as how many, but there have been quite a few children out there where we put them in the homes and ask the families to take care. Yes. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Will you pick out an orphan and just tell his or her story for us, please?
Sure. This family, the mother one, this family of three kids, the mother died of something we don't understand. We didn't know what it was, but either could be suicide, either could be torture from the husband and things like that. And she died very young, and the father, looking at it, and he had another kind of disease. He died, and all of a sudden the father died and the mother died, and the kids were left alone, and no one wanted to take them because they were burdened. Number one, they lived in a slum, and the other family members didn't want to take them because they were cursed. So they were left alone in the road and trying to, you know, be a part of that, and they were almost sold into many, could have sold to either many places, but the Lord happened to show me them, and we picked them up, and we put them to homes, and now growing, and now they are growing in one family, and having anonymous results. They have been going to the schools, and they're having best education, best food, and all of that. Yes.
So you've been doing this for years. So you've had children that you picked up who are now young adults who grew up in a family and are now out on their own?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. They are.
That's awesome. Yeah. So what does it cost to support an orphan in India?
It would not cost about, it would cost about $10 to have a child to be in the family, yes.
Okay, and does that include their schooling?
Well, it only includes only schooling, not the food. The family takes care of the food, but it takes care of the schooling situation, yes.
All right, and so schooling in India is free, but the free school is not very good. Is that what I understand?
Exactly. Yeah, it might as well don't send the child to the school. It's sent to the free school. Yeah.
Okay. And you and your wife have taken in seven children?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Tell us about one of those children that you've taken in.
Yeah, well, one of the kids, the stories are different stories, but one of her son was his father killed his mother, he was able to kill his son, and the son, Solomon, that's his name, the kid's name, he escaped, and someone found him and brought him to us, and we took him in, and he has been, you know, he was the best kid, but he, for years he worked, he had, because he saw what happened, what he did, what his father did to his mother, and anger was his last name, but
right.
we worked through it, and he's the best kid now. He preaches in the church, and he's 16, 17 now. He's preaching and teaching and in English, and people who thought he's no good, they're all asking to pray for him. So,
That's wonderful. So do most of those children who grow up in these church families, do they end up serving the Lord?
Yes, they do. Ultimately, that's what we wanted them to do. Yeah. And not to be pastors, but wherever they go, they would serve. You know, I want them to take over seven mountains like media, like hospital. I mean, one of my daughters said, you know, I said, what do you want to be after you grow up? She said, I want to be a doctor. I said, why a doctor? She said, well, if I become a doctor, it gives me a license to heal people.
Wow.
So that's why.
So you are raising up leaders of tomorrow, that children that if were left on the street would probably have had very short life expectancies.
Uh-huh.
Well, Ravi, if someone wanted to donate to your ministry to help help with the education of an orphanage or of an orphan, how would they do that? What's your website?
Well, my website name is kingdomfoundations.org. That would be mine, kingdomfoundations.org.
Okay, kingdomfoundations.org. So if you're listening, I would encourage you to forego a couple of trips to Starbucks over the next month and go to kingdomfoundations.org instead and send that money to Ravi's organization so they can continue this incredible work with these precious children. Ravi, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for sharing your journey with us, and thank you to the listeners out there, too, for tuning in.
All right. Thank you so much, Jackie. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.